In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
In the early church, it was not unusual for catechumens to delay their baptism until their deathbeds. Now, of course, this is contrary to what the Bible teaches about children and about baptism. Jesus wills that the little children be brought to him without hindrance, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. And the Apostle Peter preached on Pentecost that the promise of baptism was for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Waiting until you're about to die before being baptized is clearly not what God wants to happen with his gift of baptism. So why the delay? It was meant to solve a very real problem: the ongoing presence of the old Adam in the Christian even after his baptism. The old Adam, also called the old man or the old self in the Bible, is that corrupt and evil nature that we all have inherited because we all descend from Adam and Eve, who fell into sin. This old Adam is born in every human being from the very beginning of his existence. The old Adam reveals himself in anger, hate, envy, unchastity, greed, laziness, arrogance, other such vices, and above all, in unbelief. The old Adam is infected with all sins, and by nature has nothing good in him. Now, if it's true that in baptism we are a new creation and the old has passed away, how can this old Adam remain in us? How can you remain a sinner if baptism has washed away your sins? Some in the early church thought that sin after baptism meant that your baptism itself was invalidated, perhaps even destroyed altogether. There was a theologian in the early church named Jerome who compared baptism to a ship that could be wrecked by your sin. And so some thought better to postpone your baptism altogether to the last minute rather than risk the possibility of shipwrecking. Others, and we find this today, others think that sin after baptism means that there was a flaw in your baptism. Either it was incomplete, and it must be perfected by a true baptism of the Spirit, or perhaps it was improperly administered, and it must be redone now as a believer's baptism. Both ways of thinking are wrong, because they both propose that the problem is found in the sacrament itself rather than in the sinner who abuses it. Those who think that baptism can be ruined by the sin of the one who is baptized must perceive baptism to be a rather weak sort of institution of God. They must think that God's word is so frail and flimsy that even you, a mortal human being, could abolish it by what you say or do. But God's sacrament of baptism is certainly not frail. It is certainly not flimsy. The word of the Lord endures forever, and nothing that you can do will destroy what God himself has instituted by his almighty word. And those who believe that baptism itself is deficient, either in its effects or in its duration, well, they must think that God is a liar, or at best that he misspoke. For God said, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved." And baptism now saves you. But this is wrong too. God never errs. God doesn't misspeak. God knows every word that he speaks, and he speaks it truthfully. And so baptism indeed works forgiveness of sins. It indeed rescues from death and the devil. It indeed gives eternal salvation to all who believe this, because God has said so. Again, the word of the Lord endures forever. Nevertheless, the problem of the old Adam remains. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, but we still daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. The word of the Lord endures forever, and yet that word can be rejected, even by those who have received the washing of water with the word. One can receive the sacrament of holy baptism, and yet fall away from Christ because of sin and unrepentance. What then shall we do? How can we continue to live as baptized children of God when the old Adam in us falls into some sort of false belief, despair, or other great shame and vice? Or to use Jerome's imagery, what hope do we have when we've slipped and fallen out of the baptismal boat? We've already established that postponing baptism is not the right answer. Don't wait to embark on the boat until the shore is in sight. You might not make it there at all. Nor should you seek some sort of driftwood to cling to as you paddle to shore. That is, some other rite or ritual. Nor should you seek another ship altogether, such as the second baptism. No other vessel has God's own command and promise attached to it. So what shall we do? If you fall into sin, if you fall away from your baptism, whether in a moment of sinful desire or a lifetime of wandering, simply return to your baptism. If you happen to fall overboard, swim back to the ship and cling to it until you're brought back aboard and live in it, just as you did before. For even though you should fall from baptism and sin, you always have access to that baptism. The word of the Lord endures forever, and therefore your baptism endures forever. Now, how do you do this? How do you return to your baptism? How do you climb back aboard the ship once you've fallen overboard? You repent. Now, repentance has two parts, contrition and faith. Contrition is sorrow over the sins you've committed. When the law of God is preached against you and your works in its sternness, when your conscience is stricken by the knowledge of your many offenses against God and the terrible punishment you deserve because of your trespasses, then the law has done its work and you are brought to contrition. But faith must follow. Faith is born of the gospel, the absolution, the word of forgiveness that is spoken to those who repent of their sins. This gospel, the word of promises, declares that all sins and trespasses are forgiven, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ, shed for you on the cross. You are declared righteous for Jesus' sake. This gospel promise, received by faith alone, brings comfort and peace to the conscience that was once troubled. To return to baptism, you repent. And this must happen every day, every single day for the rest of your earthly life. For again, that old Adam, that sinful nature, remains in you even after you're baptized. The guilt of your sin is removed, washed away by the water of baptism. But that old Adam still clings around your neck. This is why Jesus commands us to pray, "Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us." He tells those who are children of God, those who are privileged to call upon God as their Father in heaven, to pray for forgiveness. For he knows that we daily sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Therefore, by repentance, we must daily drown the old Adam, lest that old self grow unrestrained in his nature and get worse and worse. Again, this is the daily life of the believer. But we also have this blessed promise that the Holy Spirit daily and richly forgives all our sins and the sins of all believers through the means of grace. When we fall away from the Christian life by sinning, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. Jesus is our mercy seat. He does not draw back from us or forbid us to come back to Him again, even though we sin daily. No, all of His treasures and gifts, forgiveness, life, and salvation, remain for us to be received by faith. That forgiveness of sins that is bestowed upon us in baptism remains ours every day, all of the days of our lives. And as we daily live in our baptism, daily drowning the old Adam, daily causing the new man to emerge and arise, we walk in newness of life each day. For indeed, through our baptism, the new man rises. He is that spiritual life and nature in every Christian that is created in you through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This new man lives in faith toward God and in concrete good works of love toward the neighbor. This we call the fruit of repentance, the fruit of what God has done in you. Each time we return to our baptism, then, the old Adam decreases as we turn away from his many vices, unbelief, greed, hatred, envy, arrogance, and the like. And that new man is strengthened to live in gentleness, patience, meekness, other good works, and above all, in love and desire for God and His Word. These fruits of repentance, these good works, this faith toward God, is not worked out by our own human reason or human will, but rather by the Holy Spirit who has caused us to be born again through water and the Word. Now again, all of this is the ongoing reality for the Christian. This is the daily life of the believer. Daily we sin much and surely deserve nothing but punishment. Daily the old Adam is drowned and the new man emerges by contrition and repentance. Daily and richly, the Holy Spirit forgives all our sins. Day by day by day. But not forever. There will come a day when that old Adam is drowned and remains under the waves. He will stay buried forever. And that is the day when you die in your flesh, in this body. But take heart. For the words which we heard this evening are the words that will be declared once again at your funeral. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we shall certainly be united with Him in a resurrection like His. Certainly, declares the Lord, certainly united with Jesus in resurrection. This has happened in your baptism. Because you are baptized into Christ Jesus, He lives and reigns, and you will live and reign also with Him. God has declared it. Though you may fall away from your baptism, you cannot destroy that sacrament. And therefore, when your sins and your conscience oppresses you, do not seek out something new or different to bring you to the heavenly shore. Instead, return to that which Christ Himself has instituted. Return to that which Christ has given for your forgiveness, rescue, and salvation. Holy baptism. Do not leave your baptism behind as some event in the past. But declare it to yourself today. I am baptized. And if I'm baptized, it is promised to me that I shall be saved and have eternal life. You may declare it because God has declared it to you. And His word endures forever. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please stand. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.